I've been directly involved in the launch of over a dozen multi-site campuses through the churches I've led, and half of them have been in movie theaters. I'm convinced that every church leader should consider using a theater for your next campus or church plant. They're flexible, culturally relevant locations, typically in the center of the community that you're trying to reach. Regal is the only theater company with a dedicated team of full-time consultants ready to help your church launch and succeed in a movie theater. Check out Regal Theater Church.com for more information on locations your church could use.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich. Super glad that you've decided to listen in on today. You know, every week we try to have different leaders from churches and from other organizations who we think will really provide great value to you, and today is no exception. Super excited to have Tyler Reagan with us from the Catalyst organization. They run Catalyst Conference, one day events all across the country. A great organization. They've done incredible things. Also his blog, he's a consultant, author, great guy, and I'm super excited to have you on the show today, Tyler.
It's great to be here, Rich. Thanks for having me. It's like taking me back to my seminary days by just saying unseminary. It makes me a little nervous, so I'm good with it. Nice. I think I was the official unseminary student of our seminary.
No, well, that's good. Well, then you're among friends. That's that's a great thing. Well, for folks that don't know, kind of tell us the Catalyst story. What is Catalyst?
Yeah, sure. So about 16 years ago, a guy named John Maxwell, some people have heard of. It's amazing how many have it these days that we interact with. John decided as he was getting older, so were the people attending his events. And he thought, I want to make sure I always connect and invest in that next generation of leaders. And so he tapped a young guy named Andy Stanley on the shoulder and said, hey, why don't we try this thing together? And that time, North Point was only 4 or 5 years old, and Andy was known more probably as Charles Stanley's son, mm-hmm. and not necessarily like this leadership guru that a lot of people look at him now. Mm-hmm. And so they started him and Reggie Joyner and a guy named Gabe Lyons, and they started a once-a-year event for 40 and under, basically, was the program target audience. And I would say then it was really church leaders who were staffs mm-hmm. and those kind of things. And over the years, we've added events. Now we do this year, 2016, we'll do 11 events this year. We do three. Atlanta's still our big once-a-year event. We have about 10,000 leaders join us at the arena here. And then throughout the year, we do 6 or 7 Catalyst One Days with Craig Rochelle and Andy Stanley. Just super practical, 4 sessions, 1 day worth of content on time management, leading your family well, some of the stuff we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And that's where mostly executive teams and that sort of thing can come because it's regional. Mm-hmm. And it's affordable. But then we do these three 2-day events, California, Catalyst West in the spring, Catalyst Cincinnati, Catalyst Atlanta. And that's more of the big picture, inspirational, unity. What does that look like for us as the church? So, this year we'll have about 30,000 people at our events. And what a privilege it is to get to lead leaders. I think it's one of the greatest callings. I know it's the greatest calling of my life, but the fact that, maybe there's 30,000 people, they represent well over 1 million people being impacted by that. So, we try to serve leaders who love the church. So now our demographics really adjusted to be about 40% marketplace leaders, 60% pastors.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, you obviously have, an insight into, leaders across a wide spectrum, in all different churches and backgrounds and emerging leaders and leaders that are trying to pass things on to the, next generation. Yeah. What would you say are some of those pressures that church leaders face? I would think, you've got to be running off your feet trying to do all that. Tires me to think of all those events. What would you say some of those pressures that, that church leaders are facing, particularly, on a regular basis?
Well, particularly even right now, this year being an election year is splintering the country big time. Mm-hmm. And the pastors are trying to figure that out. They're trying to figure out what to do and reconcile some of these major, hot button issues in the church and in the culture, whether it's racial reconciliation, gay marriage, the things that are dividing us in so many ways. Pastors are trying to figure out the balance between the theology and the reality. And I think, that's a really interesting seat for a lot of pastors, and everybody's mm-hmm. looking to somebody to put a stake in the ground and say, this is the answer. Mm. But, you know, Andy Stanley talks all the time about this is a tension to manage. It's not necessarily there's a solution. Mm-hmm. It's how do we manage this tension? I think it's that. I think the other huge thing that ministry will always have and carry with it is, do I sacrifice my family on the altar of ministry? Am I going to give up my good friendships because God's called me to be a pastor? Mm. Where are we unhealthy as leaders? Mm. That is a constant tension. It's got to be for leaders and pastors is, oh gosh, I know I should be eating healthier. I should be exercising. Well, that's not an option. Mm. And I don't think God's ever called any of us to sacrifice our health right. or our families to make sure the church has an extra five people there. I'm making light of it, but you understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. like there's a realness to the health of leaders that dictates the health of their church.
Mm, so true. You know, we're in a season. I just happen to be in a season of ministry where, you know, I literally was just thinking that this week where, you know, I ended up at Smashburger three times this week.
And that's delicious.
Delicious slash terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just a lot going on. I think a lot of church leaders, you know, they are busy running off their feet, running from one thing to the next. You know, I'd love to hear, you know, how you've been able to deal with that. You know, how either you in your ministry or how you've seen other folks, you know, deal with all those sure. pressures. There's so much going on. How do we stay healthy in the midst of the pressures of ministry?
Yeah, you know, even as a leader leading a team of 25, I'm really passionate that part of my job, I hire them because they're competent, I hire them because they're good at what they do. My job as a leader in this organization is to make sure they stay healthy. Mm. If I can help them stay healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, they're going to kill the job. Mm. I don't have to worry about the job. I spend more time, Rich, telling people to go home than I do stay late. Because I know they're going to get the job done. These are dedicated, hardworking, tireless people. If they're not, they're not going to be here long anyway.
Right. They're going to stick out.
And bigger than that, the healthier you are outside of this building, the better you are for me inside this building. Mm-hmm. I kind of disagree with leaders sometimes who say, you know, in that single season of life, just work all the time. Like, get after it. Like, this is the chance. And I'm going, no, this is the chance to build the lifelong habits and routines that you're going to do for the rest of your life. If you think that when you get married, all of a sudden you're going to create the right boundaries with your work-life balance, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. What does it look like now to say, you know what, I'm going to leave every day at 4:30 if I can, and I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to go make sure I have plenty of good friend time. The number of times I've met with or seen my friends' dads or pastors I know who are in their 60s and 70s who have no close friends, it breaks my heart. Mm. Because they didn't take the time to cultivate those deep relationships over the years, that's not okay. That's not okay. We're going to have a church full of empty, heartbroken, isolated leaders because they're not spending their time going, I'm going to give the church my best, but part of me giving the church my best is me being at my best, which means I've got family and friend relationships that are in a good place, you know? Right. Rich, I just turned 40 this week. So
nice. Welcome to the 40s.
I know. I'm in an interesting season. I've been a little bit nostalgic, you know, thinking back at it, because I just cannot believe that I'm at that point. But physical health, you know, it's one of those things where I go, I've got two boys that are, you know, 6 and 9, my wife of 15 years, like they need me to be in good shape. Mm-hmm. And my personality is one that if it's just me, I don't care. Like right. I really could care less personally. Right. But as soon as those eyeballs of those little boys and my wife come into my mind, my motivation changes, and it should for all of us. And I think you even add, there's another layer on top of that, is what you say on Sunday really should dictate how you live your life. And if you're up there preaching it all the time about being healthy, and you guys, like, I think the question I would ask most pastors is, what are you telling somebody that comes to you in the same scenario?
Right. Well, that's too convicting.
Yeah, I know. I mean, nurses and doctors are the worst patients, right?
Right,
it's the same thing with us.
Right.
Like, sometimes we're the most unhealthy, and we're telling people, like, God's calling you to be healthy.
Right.
Well, man, we got to represent that pretty well. So I think for me, Rich, it's been a recognition of the importance of it, an understanding that I am best for this organization. God can use me to the best of his ability, like his strength, him working through me, our prayer here at Catalyst is constantly, God, work through us, not in spite of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's amazing. People think in spite because of gift set. I think it's in spite because of health.
Mm. Interesting. Well, you know, there's a lot of leaders tell this story, and maybe it's even at conferences like Catalyst. I've been so many places where it's like this wildly successful, you know, person who God's used done massive things, and then they're pleading with the audience, don't do what I did. I sacrificed too much when I was young. Like that, literally, if I hear that again from another, you know, conversation, right. I'm like, gosh, it's so frustrating because it's like, yep. As a young leader looking at that, it's like, I don't know. So then what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? How I want to see God do big things through my ministry. What would you say to a leader today? Maybe just get like super practical. How can you, you know, how can they begin to, you know, set some boundaries and, you know, kind of, you know, create some healthy rhythms in their life that would really point in the right direction?
Yeah. You'll hear me, Rich, talk about Andy Stanley a lot, mainly because I worked at his church for 10 years and mm-hmm. I still go there. So I feel like he's kind of, you know, he's in my brain a right, lot, exactly. But it's a good person to be in your brain. Yeah. There are two lessons I learned from him. He just taught on one of these recently where he talked about the church prevented, the church saved his life. Mm-hmm. And the idea is he's heard that same story, that same sentiment for years and years. Mm-hmm. If only I knew that then, if only I'd heard that then, if only I'd done that then. And his point is that's what the church does, is it prevents us from having, and he goes, I did hear it and I did it. It's like one of my best friends, his dad, when he graduated college, his dad said, hey, I want you to do three things. Have no car payment, put everything you can in a 401k, and have no credit card debt for the first 10 years of your life. And he goes, and I was dumb enough to believe that it could be done. And I went and I paid my house off when I was 30.
Wow.
Man. You see what I mean? Like yes. There was, and I think practically speaking, between recognizing that I can't just listen to this stuff for 20 years, but I need to do something with it. Mm-hmm. But the bigger lesson for me was the choosing to cheat conversation, mm-hmm. which is Andy talks about, you're going to cheat somewhere because there's literally not enough time in the day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So his suggestion is to cheat work. Now, I know a lot of people, whoa, what does that mean? The point is, if you choose to cheat your family over work, that's a bad decision. Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. a bad decision. If mm-hmm. you choose to cheat your health over work, that's a bad decision. Mm-hmm. Now, what that means practically is when I came over to Catalyst 4 years ago, I had a very clear conversation on the front end because my boys were at the time, you know, 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. Or 2 and 5. And I said to Brad Lominick, who was the director at the time, hey, man, here's what it looks like for me to come over. I'm going to be there early. I love getting into work early, and that's mm-hmm. I'll be there for everybody else. But that means I'm leaving at 4 to 4:30 every single day, if possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have, you know, events.
Stuff happens,
and we have things, right. But 95% of the time, I'm going to leave at 4 or 4:30. And I know mm-hmm. that some people get there at 9:30, and they'd like to meet after that. I won't be one of those people, and right. I won't be in those meetings.
Right.
Because that gives me 2 to 3 hours with my boys. And that's just not an option in my family. I right. can delegate stuff at work, but I cannot delegate stuff at home. Mm. And so I have to choose that from the beginning. And if mm-hmm. that, and I literally said, Brad, if that doesn't work for this organization, no, that's fine.
Right, right.
But for me to come here, this is what has to work. And he was like, great, I have no problem with that. Mm. And honestly, that first year was interesting because a lot of the team was single. So they'd come in at 9, 9:30. I'm here at 6:30 or 7, right?
Right, right.
So I've been here 3 hours when they show up and they're like dragging in here. And I'm going, let's go, let's go.
Come
and
on, let's go, exactly.
You try to schedule an 8:30 meeting and you see their face like, oh my God, like what am I going to do? Okay, then that means, guys, we got a 6-hour window to have our face-to-face meetings.
Right.
Other than that, I'll see you tomorrow. Right. And there just had to be some understanding of what that looked like. Now, that schedule, it worked better for them. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. But each of us have to recognize that, like, I got to figure out how to cheat appropriately in my family with my job mm-hmm. to get to the places I need to do. You know, another thing, and this is super practical for me, Rich, mm-hmm. Dr. Sam Chan talks about this. Dan Allender talks about it. All these guys who have studied or dealt with burnout. Mm-hmm. And those sorts of things. A boundary that has to happen is every one of us are going to deal with stress. We're going to deal with it.
Right.
We get to choose whether we deal with it healthy or non-healthy.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. So are we going to let just whatever, it's like a budget. I can choose where my money goes or it's just going to go somewhere.
Right.
Stress is just going to tend to go towards negative things, overeating, mm-hmm. you know, drinking too much, whatever those different things are that may, picking the wrong times. Or I can choose to relieve stress in the ways that God's wired me. That, you know, maybe it's walking outside, maybe it's exercise. For me personally, it's golf. Like, that's one of those things in my life. And the reason is, to be frank, I literally, it's the only thing I do that I don't, it forces me to think about something else.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when I go out on a golf course, I'm having to think about golf. Now, I'm with my buddies and we're mm-hmm. having fun, but very rarely in a four-hour round will I think about work.
Right.
It's honestly one of the only breaks that mm-hmm. my brain ever takes mm-hmm. because when you feed something, that weight never goes away. Right. I don't have a job that when I leave at 5 o'clock, I quit thinking about it because I put the drawer in and I pick it back up the next morning.
Right.
Ministry, you
same way.
Don't do that. The weight of leadership is always on your shoulders. So mm-hmm. you got to learn how to delegate some of that weight. This is a whole another subject we could talk about another day, but how do we manage weight of mm-hmm. leadership?
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you got to figure out healthy ways to relieve stress. Mm-hmm. And, to the point where I've just started making golf a consistent part. And my boys are old enough now, that's all they want to do. So it's kind of a cool family
thing. Oh,
that's
cool. Yeah, that's very cool.
But for me, I've always known I've got to have some fun in my life or I'm not good to anybody.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's super important. I think, you know, people, you know, leaders need to find those things and they're going to be different for everybody. And they may not be, you know, may not be golf. It could be, you know, whatever. I know in my own life, I've never been, for years, I was always like, I could never really get to the gym. I'm not really a gym guy.
Yeah.
But then something clicked probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, where now, if I don't go to the gym in the morning, it's like life doesn't work well for me. I need that. And a big part of it, to be honest, is it's more the mental disconnect from everything else than the actual working out. The working out's important, but it's the, hey, this is a time for me just to kind of disconnect, put my headphones on. You know, I listen to a bunch of podcasts that don't have anything to do with what I do in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does. It feels like, hey, that's an hour, you know, hour and a half of just kind of disconnect time that I need. I need that, you know, for sure. That's good. Yeah. And what else? What else should we be thinking about?
Well, and I just think so many young leaders, as you know, you call this the unseminary. Mm-hmm. I sat down with the president of the seminary I went to mm-hmm. a few years ago, and he said, Tyler, what do we got to be better at?
Mm.
Which was a really cool thing for, you know, a guy who's probably 30 years older than mm-hmm. me to ask, mm-hmm. you know, me that question. And I said, yeah, you know, I took 30 courses and zero were on leadership, mm-hmm. zero were on how to run a business, mm-hmm. zero were on. So, and he said, you know, one of the things that, one of the biggest complaints we get, the number one complaint we get from people that hire our graduates is they can exegete and they can communicate, but they can't lead a meeting and they don't know how to run a budget.
No, it's so true.
And so I think this is one of those lessons that, man, do we all wish was a part of our conversations in seminary, which is, hey guys, listen, girls, taking care of you helps us. Yes, helps the church. Right. It makes us better.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that stress is reality, that you got to figure out how to relieve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, Craig Rochelle talks, he's a friend of ours, and he talks, I don't know if you've seen Craig lately, the number one question we get with Craig is how many push-ups can Craig do?
It's crazy, and yeah.
It's crazy. He very open about what happened. It became mm-hmm. a spiritual situation for him,
mm-hmm.
where he realized, I'm not taking care of what God's given me.
Right.
And that's not okay with him. That was the switch for him. That was the thing that went, because he's a determined, focused, you know, leader of leaders. And he's going, if I can't believe this is a spiritual thing, then I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But this is a spiritual thing. And so, I mean, I'm saying this, please hear me. Like, I'm not saying this is I had a lot of fried chicken yesterday.
Okay? Yeah, exactly.
I grew up eating that stuff, and like, to me, a diet change is a massive undertaking based on what I grew up on. And I was always able, you know, up until 5 years ago, it didn't even affect me. I was skinny. Man, all of a sudden, whoa, you know,
what's
this thing's
happening
changed.
Here?
Yeah. But I know for me, this is not just a discipline thing.
Right.
This is very much a spiritual thing that I've got to lean into. And so I can talk about it and I feel the weight every time I talk about it because I want to make sure that I'm not just saying it and not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just think it's an epidemic sometimes in our churches and our ministries that our leaders aren't healthy in the ways they need to be healthy.
Well, anything else you want to share before we jump into the lightning round? How is Catalyst helping leaders with these sorts of issues? Are there, you know, are you injecting this kind of messaging into your programming?
Yeah, for sure. The one day specifically, I mean, we talk time management, family matters. We're talking about how to speak to staff, how to lead staff. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, we say we exist to unify, equip, and challenge leaders who love the church. Really, our one days, we're working on like a workbook. We're working on some leadership development tools, our app. The content we create is really that equipping piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. The two-day events that we do are really that unifying challenge. Because we're not a church and a denomination, we get to kind of sit in the middle a little bit and push. I mean, you've mm-hmm. been to Catalyst. One of the things that represents Catalyst really well is progression. Like, mm-hmm. it's a group of people that's not okay with doing things the way we've always done things. And so we're going to put people on stage you don't agree with theologically.
Right.
Because you need to hear what they have to say.
Right.
They're leading something that's incredible, and God's blessing it, even mm-hmm. though you're going, how can he bless that? They do water baptism. What? they all do water baptism. You know, they like sprinkle or immersion, or they do, you know, what they're Anglican. What? How can that be?
Yes.
Wow, it's amazing. God does amazing things through his church, and it looks very different. And so that's, you know, for me, we're trying to 365 days a year encourage leaders who love the church to be leaders worth following, to be the leaders that you're not leading because you're positional leaders. You're leading because people want to follow you.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. Super excited to have Tyler Reagan with us today. He's the executive director at the Catalyst Conference, the whole Catalyst movement. You really should plug in and connect with Catalyst. They really are, you know, from my perspective, they are, you know, premium, top shelf, great organization. They run great events. They do great content. Their podcast, their website, everything is just amazing. You need to check them out for sure. They'll be, you know, a help and encouragement to you. Maybe you were plugged into them earlier in your ministry career and you've kind of let them drop off. Hey, plug back in. They do great stuff. Speaking of online resources, what's an online resource that you're using this day? Maybe a tool or something like that that's helping you in your ministry?
Man, I'm like the most unstructured human being on the planet. So, you know, even just tools like Evernote and a subscription to Harvard Business Review, where I get something in my inbox every day. You know, I tell the team, one of my six expectations to be a part of this team is that leaders are learners. We're leading leaders, for crying out loud. If we're not learning, we got a problem.
Right.
So we've got to develop systems. For me, a system is a subscription to Fast Company online, to where I can go in and select a leadership topic or creative or whatever, and I get articles that they aggregate around that content in my inbox every morning. Whether I read it every day or not, you know, there's a Seth Godin's blog. It's quick. Mm. It's easy. It comes to my inbox. Mm-hmm. Little systems I can set up that it keeping me thinking about leadership, even if it's 5 minutes a day, it's more than if I don't put a system in place. So, man, I know it's old school, but still, like, subscribing to email lists, you know?
That's good. No, absolutely.
It's a great tool to get something in front of me every morning.
Nice. What's another book you've read in, I don't know, maybe the last 6 months to a year that's influenced your ministry or shaping, or your ministry or leadership?
Sure. I think probably the most impactful book over the last year was Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last. Mm. That book, right now I'm reading Banning Leibscher's book called Rooted, talking about, you know, before God really hands you a lot to carry, he's got to get these roots found. He's the guy that founded Jesus Culture. And I'm also reading, but I listen to a lot of stuff on Audible.
Yeah.
Listen to a lot of books that way. And Adam Grant's book, Originals, I've been listening to that. So there's a couple that come to mind.
Cool. You know, a lot of ministries, a lot of people look to you for inspiration. Who are you looking to for inspiration these days? Other ministries that you're looking at saying, wow, I'm fascinated by what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, Hillsong is just easy to follow because they're everywhere.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, I'm friends with someone there she's the creative director for their global world. And I'm just fascinated by all the things that they pull off in a year. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to follow, we got some good friends in the UK, Charlotte and Steve Gamble. They run a church there, a pretty big church in kind of the middle of UK. And just to see how God's using them in a really interesting, different culture is really encouraging to me, something to understand. And, you know, gosh, there's so many that are encouraging, fun to see. That's the two that come to mind right now.
Well, you covered this already, but we love to finish our episodes, talk about, you know, what do you do for fun? We just kick back. You talked about golf. Is there anything else you like to do just for fun to relax?
Yeah, man, I love to drink sweet tea.
Nice.
I just do that in general. It's for fun and for whatever. You know, at the end of the day, to me, I wrote this down the other day. If I'm going towards something, if I'm choosing something to go towards, if there's not an element of fun to it, I don't know that it's something I want to be a part of, even in work. We really value fun. I tell my team, you got two jobs the week of the event: serve your guts out and have fun. If you don't do those things, then you're not in the right place. So, man, fishing, whatever it is, I don't care. Let's go roller skating. Let's have some fun, because this life is quicker than we think it is.
Nice. Well, I really appreciate being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with Catalyst, how can they do that?
Yeah, I'm just at Tyler Reagan, R-E-A-G-I-N, on all the social media stuff. Nice. But for the most part, Catalyst is just at Catalyst Leader on social media, or catalystconference.com is where you can find out all about our events, all the things going on. You can connect to our app and all that jazz through there. So pretty easy to find us.
Very cool. Well, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch, or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.